4, and then page 3 in your notes, Matthew chapter 4 and page 3 in your notes. Okay, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and for the work you do in our lives. And Lord, I ask that you'd be with us tonight. Teach us, grow us, and help us to be more like you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last Wednesday night, as we were pulling out of the parking lot, Melanie looks at me and she says, "Bertha May was right." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she said, because I made the comment that I've always thought it was different or strange that these two guys just randomly followed Jesus when he said, "Follow me." And she said, Jesus called them before that. And she said, "Bertha May was trying to tell you." And obviously I didn't hear you, so I'm sorry. But I said, "Really? I never, for lack of better terms, I never connected the dots, because the Gospels are not written chronologically, if that makes sense." Well, they're not. So turn over to John. Okay, here we are in Matthew 4. Turn over to John chapter 1. I just, for the life of me, I was like, man, I just never connected the dots, so to speak. In John chapter 1, verses 35 and following, it says, "Again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples." Now, who's the John here? John the Baptist. Okay. "And looking unto Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them." Am I in the right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." So that is when Peter and Andrew first meet Jesus. So backing up to Mark chapter 4, it makes a lot more sense when Jesus walks up to him and says, "Okay, guys, let's go." And I just never connected those dots, and I'm sorry about that. But anyway, I just, the Lord just really, you know, I'm sorry about that. So we're going to back up to point number one. We're going to start back at point number one. We filled in these blanks last week. So point number one is the calling, our Peter's calling. We see it in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 4. Go back to Matthew here. Verse 19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And what an incredible challenge for all of us. And then your next blank here. No Christian is saved to sit. You know, God does not save us to so that we sit around and do nothing. We have a job to do, just like Peter had a job to do. And your next blank here. The truth is, from the moment of salvation, we are saved to serve. Your next blank, and I gave you this last week. Christ calls us to love, to give, and to share the gospel. And we talked about the idea of sharing being more than sharing ourselves, our talents, our abilities. Did I give you the next blank? Okay. We are all responsible both to hear and to do the call of Christ. Now that's where we left off, right? Okay. Okay. So your next blank here. Unfortunately, many Christians do not want to hear the call of Christ. We live in a world today that people are consumed with what is going to make me happy. You know, one of the things that upsets me every 4 years is these commercial after commercial after commercial of well, the hatred, but it's, well, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you that. And both parties do it, so it doesn't matter. You know, and why do they do that? Because we live in a society that is incredibly selfish. And I'm going to vote for the party that gives me what I want. And that is the absolute worst reason to vote for any political person. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They hear his voice. The ladies did a Bible study I'm trying to think of her name. I'm just totally, Crystal Heath. And she did a pretty in-depth study on shepherds and sheep and yeah. But she brought up the fact that sheep recognize the shepherd's voice and will follow him. And as believers, if we do not hear the word of God, if we do not hear from God, then what are we going to follow?
The voice is in our own head.
And we got plenty of those. Especially like me, I got a whole bunch. And the reality is this. Ask yourself this question, who am I following? Am I following the voice of the Lord? And we're going to get into this in a minute. But the voice of the Lord. Now I'm not talking about an audible voice and that. That's not what I'm talking about. But do you let God speak to your heart? Do you let the Spirit of God move within you? I can't tell you how many times in my life I've wanted to do something and just something inside of me just says, no, don't do that. But I've done it anyway. And every time I've lived to regret it. Because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Your next blank here. The call of Christ is always there. It's always there. The biggest problem is listening to it. Responding to your next blank here. The responding to that call, however, is up to us. In James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man that buildeth, that beholdeth his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty continueth therein, and he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Here we have James, the half-brother of Jesus, gives us an incredible word picture here. Actually, two word pictures. What is literally the first word picture that he gives us?
Looking at yourself in a mirror.
Okay, it is looking, it says into a glass, but it's talking about a mirror and looking into the mirror and seeing yourself and saying, yeah, you're okay. And you just go on your way. Now, do mirrors lie?
Yes. Yes, they do.
There's
a scary looking old woman.
Shoot that woman. No. No.
They put on weight. Yes, they do.
Those stinking mirrors.
I know. You can't trust them.
but seriously, do mirrors lie?
No.
No. They show what's there.
That's why we try not to look.
Yeah, that's why we don't look at them. Right? Who invented the mirror, anyway? Now I got totally sidetracked. The reality, what James is trying to tell us is, let me put it to you this way. The other day, I came across someone. I won't say who it is because I honestly I can't remember, and I, even if I could I wouldn't tell you, but you know what bedhead is,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well this guy, I'm like, did you look in the mirror? I mean, he had this big old. I wanted so bad to just say, here, this is what you, I didn't, but. Mirrors don't lie. And the reality is, the world looks in the mirror and says, you know what? I'm okay because I'm better than that guy. But what is, then James gives us another word picture here. What does this individual do? He looks into the book. He looks up. He looks into the book, and what does he see?
A sinner.
A sinner. He sees the truth. See, it's easy for us to look in a mirror and see ourselves and go, "Well, yeah, I need to lose a few pounds," or "Man, you're getting old," or "Yeah, I mean, you know, man, I didn't. Man, that's another wrinkle." You know, somebody asked me the other day, what color hair did you have?
Blonde when you were really young.
Yeah, when I was young. See, the Word of God never lies. And that's what James is trying to get us to do. Instead of looking in a mirror and justifying what we look like, he's saying, look into the Word of God and let the book examine your heart and life. The call of Peter, number one, the calling. The person of the call. Let's talk about Peter for a minute. The person of the call. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He says to them, follow me. And what do they do? They drop everything and go. Because of John, what we read in John, we know that they realized that he was the Messiah. And the Messiah walks up to them and says, oh, hey, boys, by the way, let's go. And they said, okay.
He had a better fishing job.
Yes. Yes. Now, I have a list here of things I want to talk about. The first one is loud noises. I missed that one. We are surrounded by noises of calls. There is no shortage of calls in our lives or noise. We are surrounded by just, and we're going to get into this here, just noise.
Distractions.
The first one is loud noises. And man, I'll tell you what, the society we live in, it is noisy. And it is constant. We are bombarded. Okay, help me out. What are some ways we are bombarded with noise?
Phones.
Music. Traffic. That's one of my, yeah. What else are
television.
We? Television. Okay.
Kids.
Huh?
Kids.
Yeah. Okay, so we have.
I was going to say, when he said the noise of calls, mom.
You know, right? my wife every once in a while would just say, you know what? I do have a name, and it's not Mom.
I'll tell mine that I'm not going by Mom for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, just... Okay, so we have loud noises. The second one that we want to talk about are soft noises.
Soft?
Yeah, soft. Soft. What are soft noises? Whispers, okay. What'd you say?
My refrigerator.
Huh?
Like whispers,
not loud ones. Yeah. Okay. So we have loud noises and we have soft noises. We are surrounded by noise. Is my point. Your next blank here. We have the noise of fame. I've heard the testimony of more than one famous person say, boy, I wish I could just be a normal person for a little while. Go to Walmart and just be normal. The noise of fame. But then there are people that desire that fame. And the noise of their lives is all about getting that fame. Then we have, on the contrary to that, the noise of comfort. You think, how in the world? But I know, do you realize how much money, I should have looked this up, but I know it's an astronomical amount of money. Do you have any idea how much money we spend as a nation just on comfort? It's pathetic. I mean, we were married 30 plus years, I think, before I ever got a recliner. And I thought I had died and gone to heaven. I'm on my second one. But the noise of comfort. How about the noise of money? Is that a big one? What is the trap of money? What happens when you get money?
You want
more?
You get things. You get things, and then you have to be responsible for those things. They got to have a place. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you want a camper, so you go buy a camper. Then you have to pay to store it.
Or you buy 2.5 acres. Yeah.
You know. But the noise of money is a real problem in our world today. Because everybody wants what? Money. Why? Because life will be so much easier if I'm rich. How about the noise of friends? The noise of friends.
Especially social media friends?
Yeah, yeah, I didn't think about that. The noise of friends. The noise of your next one here, the noise of peer pressure. Again, I've said this before, and it's not just teenagers that deal with peer pressure. It's something we all deal with.
That's peer pressure.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Just a new term, trying to encourage you to do and be like everybody else to do. So.
This next one, you're going to go, huh? Because that's what, I know you're going to do that because that's what my wife did. What? And this is the noise of quiet. When's the last time you slowed down enough to hear nothing?
Last Thursday.
I remember one time. I remember one time. This has been years. I was a teenager. My next door neighbor was a wealthy individual, and he had a really, really nice Cadillac. And I went somewhere with him, and that car was so quiet, it hurt my ears. Yeah, I mean, that sounds crazy, but it was just so quiet, you could hear nothing. When's the last time that you've heard nothing? Most people cannot handle quiet. Can't. I mean, look at our world today. Everywhere you go, people have headphones or earbuds, and they're constantly noise. In fact, I did it. I almost did it yesterday. Melanie and I made a pledge yesterday to clean the garage. Oh, bless you.
Yeah.
And you know, we were in there, and I thought, you know, it's kind of quiet, because, you know, we're working away, and I almost took out my phone and started playing music. I thought, no, I just want quiet. But when's the last time that you just did nothing? For many of us, it's been a long time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting on the edge of this pretty much the cliff. It's about 200-foot long, and maybe 4 feet in front of me. Who knows? And then I can't see for another 200 feet. And I'm looking down a couple of different drawers. It is quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Been a long time.
And it was so completely empty and filling.
Right.
It
right.
Filled me with the beauty of God.
Well, Angie, this evening before church, was telling me a story that I think kind of sums up this point. She went camping this last week. And she left, and when she came back, there was a big RV parked right next to her. Right next to you, right?
Well, it was across.
Okay, but close enough.
Yeah, near you.
And
too near.
And all she heard all night long was the hum of a generator.
Destroyed the reason I went.
But my point is, why do you go camping? You go camping to get away, or at least we used to. But whoever it was had to have all the conveniences, had to have the TV and the satellite and all the stuff, and they're robbing themselves of the joy of quiet. Your next point: the noise of knowledge. The noise of knowledge. Oh, you have to get an education. You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to. The noise of knowledge. And I'll even take it into the realm of the believer. I know believers that get so caught up into having to get all the knowledge of the Word of God, they forget the point of the Word of God. And that is to allow the Word of God to absorb into my life and change my life. All the knowledge in the world cannot change your life. But this book can, if you let it influence your life. The knowledge, the noise of knowledge. And then the last one, and this one kind of goes along with the peer pressure and friends, but the noise of popularity. The noise of popularity. Again, our society tells us that we are not to be different. We're supposed to blend in. We're supposed to be that popular person and just kind of blend in with society. But the Bible says just the opposite. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without
signification.
Yes, signification. That just couldn't come out. There are a lot of voices in this world. And if we're going to be like Peter, we need to tune into the voice. I've said it a million times, and I'll probably say it a million more times before I die, that the call of God is a quiet call. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." And that is the voice that we need to be listening to. We need to learn how to slow down. You know, I don't know what kind of fisherman Peter was and his brother, but they had the ability to hear the voice of the Lord. And when he said, "Come," they went. And the call of God in our lives is no different. When the Lord speaks to our hearts in that still, small voice, we need to hear. Your next blank here, the call of Christ on our lives is of great importance. Can you imagine the God of heaven having a job for you to do? Now, in each of us, that job is going to be different. But he has a job for you to do. Your next blank here, the same God who calls us is the same God that called Peter in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. And he said unto them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." It's the same God. The same God that said, "Peter, Andrew, follow me and I will make you fishers of men," is the same one who said, "Rick, I want you to go to Fernley, Nevada." Yeah, firmly what?
That's what I said.
It's the same God who told me many years ago, "Hey, I want you to start your construction company," and I did. And many times through the years, God has come through and he says, "Okay, it's time for you to go to college. It's time for you to do this. It's time for you to do that." Do you realize that God is only concerned with you walking with him today? That sounds kind of odd, but he has a master plan for your life. And oftentimes what we do is we say, "Okay, God, you tell me what your plan is, and then I'll go and do it." And you know what his reply is most of the time? "Walk with me today, and I'll get you where you need to be." He didn't walk up to Peter and he say, "Hey, Peter, I want you to go preach at Pentecost in 3.5 years, and there's going to be 3,000 people going to get saved under your ministry." He didn't tell Peter that. What did he tell him? "Follow me. Right here, today, right now, you walk with me. And I will get you where you need to be." That's what God wants from each of us. Your next blank here. Just like Peter, we can trust the Lord's call because it will always lead us to what is best for our lives. When Jesus walked up to Peter and his brother Andrew, did he say, "Hey fellas, you know what? Let's sign a contract here, and if you follow me for the next 3.5 years, I'm going to make a preacher out of both of you. But Peter, you're going to be the dude. You're going to be the man. Okay? So in this contract, but and nothing bad is going to happen to you in this 3.5 years. Is that part of the contract? No. Did Peter go through the fire? Absolutely he did. Did Andrew? Absolutely. Jesus just said, fellas, trust me. Let's go. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I read a story recently of a little kid that was every time his dad come home, and his dad, as soon as his dad would walk in, he'd call his name, and the little boy started figuring out, you know, every time my dad gets home and he calls my name, he's always got something for me to do. So one day the little boy figures out, hey, next time I'm just not going to listen. So the dad walks in the door and he's calling his name and calling his name. And finally, the dad was like, where's he at? And then he hears a buzzing noise. It's like, well, that's kind of odd. So he walks over to his son's room. He opens the door, and his son is sitting in the middle of the floor with his fingers in his ear, humming. He said, what are you doing? He's like, I'm not listening to you. Isn't that how we do God sometimes? We want to do the things we want to do. I know believers that their attitude is, you know, I will do the things of the ministry that I enjoy doing, but I won't do anything else. Is that what God has called us to do? No. I know. Yeah, probably not. I probably need to just stop. I'll probably say something I shouldn't say. Let's just stop right here. What?
Say it.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
If the Lord said, don't, then don't.
That small, still voice saying, Rick, shut up. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for giving us guidance and Lord, being there for us and speaking to us and challenging us. Lord, we are so thankful and grateful for all that you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay.